This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and invite you to join us every Sunday for worship with us.
Christians talk often about peace, comfort, joy, forgiveness. But what about the other side of the story? Christian suffering. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We'd like to have you stay with us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel. For the gospel that Christ brings us, the good news, the comfort that we are yours forever by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But today we turn to your word and we see that as believers in Christ Jesus, committed to him, there will be hours of suffering. Help us, O God, to get a better understanding of the life of the Christian and suffering in this next half hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ. The Christian Church talks much about the joy and the peace, the satisfaction and the forgiveness when one is in a living personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's as it should be. That's the gospel. And we have been sent out into this world to tell the good news of the Savior who has come to die that we might live for him and with him throughout our life here and in all eternity. But we have to say, and the scriptures make that very clear, and today's text will make it clear, what about the Christian when he is finally suffering for the cause of his faith? And that is bound to be a part of the Christian faith. Jesus himself said, "Take up your cross and follow me." He did not promise that there would not be hours and hours of suffering. Now, some of us perhaps have had a limited understanding of what that suffering is. Suffering, for example, that for the cause of Christ as far as physical concern. And most of us who have had the good fortune of living in the western part of civilization, and especially the United States, have had a lot of freedom when it came to our Christianity. In days gone by, more than now, we were able to express it. We could have Christmas programs in our school, and you wouldn't know the difference between those and the ones that were given in our churches. We could have baccalaureate services where Jesus Christ was held up as the one that the young people should follow. Not so anymore. But even now, we have a great deal of freedom. And personally, when it comes to the matter of someone doing something to harm me physically, in all of my years on this earth, I have never had to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. But we soon learn when we take a look at that word suffering that it is far more than purely physical. It is emotional, it is spiritual, and I think that is the thing we have to take into consideration today as we turn and look at Peter, who had to suffer because he had so denied Christ. In other words, are you then turned off to Christianity? When that happens, no. What we do is as we live with the Lord Jesus Christ is to walk with him and see what he can do. We become aware of the power of temptation and the depth of suffering. Let me say that again. The committed Christian, sooner or later, as Peter, becomes very much aware of the power of temptation and the depth of suffering. I'd like to take you back to the 26th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. It is a Gospel section that you know very well, I'm sure. We have read it many times. It's a story of where Peter and the rest of the disciples are with Jesus. He has instituted the Lord's Supper, and he is telling them that now he is going to be delivered up. And when he is delivered up, all of the disciples will flee from him. When Peter heard that, he said, "Oh, no, Lord. No, that isn't going to happen." And then Peter heard his Lord say to him, "Peter, tonight, before the cock crows, you are going to deny me three times." And Peter looked at Jesus and he said, "No, Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all of the others said the same. But then you come to St. Mark's Gospel. And he gives us an insight which shows how Peter suffered. Now he had been warned. He had been schooled. He was educated to the fact that a Christian was going to have peace and joy and happiness and all of the other good things that Christ had come to give them. But he was also going to be tempted. And when he fell, he would suffer. Listen. While Peter was below in the courtyard, this is the night that Jesus is being betrayed and the night that he is being tried, one of the servants' girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. And again Peter denied it. And after a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses, curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Then, immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words of Jesus, the words that Jesus had spoken to him. Peter, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And here is the verse, friend. Yielding to that temptation, Peter saw that he had fallen. He had denied Christ. And Mark says he broke down and wept. That hard old fisherman broke down and wept. For now he was getting a real good look at himself. He was seeing how inadequate he really was. To whom should he turn? There were 100 questions that went through his mind. And he went out. Emotionally, he was suffering. There wasn't a mark on his body. No one had hit him. Certainly no one had made an attempt to kill him. But he wept. That's suffering. Now, let's take a look at another passage of Scripture. Jesus had been crucified, he had been raised, he had ascended into heaven, he had sent them out to tell the story of Jesus Christ. And Peter was a faithful disciple. And so that's exactly what he was doing. And then finally, one day, Herod decided that he was going to kill Peter. So he captured him, put him in jail, finally decided that he was going to have him killed the next day. That night, he was told, be careful that Peter does not escape. And so he was put into the prison. He was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Now, there's a very interesting end to that story, that when the right time came that night, an angel of the Lord came and took Peter's chains from him and said, get up. And how he did this, we don't know. Of course, it's a miracle. And God delivered him so that he was standing outside of the prison, wondering, where shall I go? It was at that time that he went with the assembly of Christians who had gathered in a Mary's house. Mary, I think, the mother of Mark. Here he was, able to sleep. He was not that concerned. Sure, he was concerned. He didn't want to die. No one really wants to die. But he had learned one thing, that it was not only to be with Jesus, but it was to know beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ, if you lived in a personal relationship with him, was with you. Christ is with us. That's the most important. So he moved from being afraid to identify himself as a disciple of Jesus before a young lady, to standing before the high court and saying, yes, I am one of his. Truly, Peter had come to understand that no matter what the conditions, Jesus was with him. You know, friend, in the commentaries that I have read in the preparation of this sermon, there was one thought brought out that maybe we in the church, in the teaching part of the church, ought to somehow or other help people as well as ourselves be prepared when suffering comes our way. Because suffering is going to come. It's going to come in many different ways. And at that particular time, we need to be prepared to meet the temptation of avoiding the danger and escaping the suffering. I have a friend who went through the World War II. He had had some terrific training. He had been, I think, with the Marines. And he said they did everything but kill us as they prepared us to go into battle. He said, I was sent to Iwo Jima. But when I got there, he said, I got an assignment. And I never shot a gun. And I never in my life suffered anything physical as far as being a Marine is concerned. They had chosen to use him in some administrative job, and that was where he stood, and that's where he spent most of the war. When he was telling a group of us this, he said, isn't it interesting? All that tough training, and some of it was very, very tough. But they needed it to know what could be before them and how they should respond when that particular situation came about. This is a time when the people are playing football, which is a rough, tough sport, and a person can suffer some pretty serious injuries if he doesn't know how to handle himself, and even then he has to suffer broken bones and whatever, concussions and whatever it might be. We watch them in practice once in a while, but then comes the game, and the man better be prepared for what he is facing there on the gridiron. We need to be prepared. And I have pondered this question a great deal the last few days. How does one prepare himself? And how does he prepare others to meet the suffering that is going to be a part of this world? I happen to live right now, as you have heard several times from me, if you listen to this program at all, living in a retirement center. We're all older people, and some have serious situations. I have not heard anybody say, well, I deny my faith for having to suffer as I do. But I think somebody has done other people a great deal of good in preparing them to face this day. Because I don't think some of these things we can really handle ourselves. I have a good friend. I sit with him once in a while. I didn't know him before I came to the center. But we eat dinner. He has a wife over in an Alzheimer's unit. He himself is living in the regular unit, which is independent living. It's costing him somewhere around $7,000 a month, not a year, a month. $7,000 a month. To live under these circumstances. And it is not that this place is such an anxious at all to make a lot of money. It's a sort of a church-sponsored, historically, institution. They have two chaplains there. They're concerned about the people. But that's what it costs to take care of people sometimes when they become very, very difficult, especially with some kinds of dementia. So I said to him, $7,000 a month. How do you do it? Maybe for a few months. But how do you do this over a period of time? Well, he said, we're eating up the family farm. Now, you see, not that money is really that important, perhaps, but a certain amount of it is necessary. And to see what you had laid aside to help you get through this life could well be gone before you see too much of it to take care of yourself. It's his wife now. And he said to me, you have to leave it in the hands of God. That's what the text is all about today. Yeah, the older person sometimes says they call these the golden years. But when you see that the body is wearing out, you have to really put your eyes on Christ and hear what he said, I am with you always to the end of the world. Sometimes I see people who did what they felt was the best job that they knew how, and none of us are perfect, trying to raise their children in the faith. And so once in a while when I will meet some of these people and I haven't seen them for a long, long time, I will ask the question, well, how's the family? And they tell me again and again what good things their children have done, how they have revealed their skills in so many ways to them, how they have been well-trained, father and mother helped them, but now they're on their own and have responsible jobs. But then I'll say, trying to keep it as easy as I can and not becoming too personal, what church do they go to? And I'll never forget, just a short time ago, a person said to me, oh, she said, that's my sorrow. That's my biggest sorrow. That's where I have to ask God, where did I fail? Not a one of my four children have anything to do with Christ nor his church. Where did I fail? It says that Peter went out and wept. I am thoroughly convinced that this man and his now deceased wife wept too. The children who have drifted away and do not need Christ anymore. We become warned from time to time of where this old country of ours is going. Where will it be in 100 years? Will we have to suffer for Jesus Christ right here in America? I can't believe it. But remember this. God wants you prepared to suffer for him if it is necessary. And when you see him being turned aside, you can only do what Peter did. Go out and weep. God will walk with us. That is sure. And as David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work on the temple is finished. What are these sufferings, and when will they come to us, and are we prepared? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have revealed to us the gospel of grace, forgiveness, love, peace. But we also thank you that in your word you are very realistic, and that if we follow you, there will come times of temptation, and there will come times of suffering. So help us to understand that it is yes to walk with Jesus, but also help us to understand that we are to know that you are walking with us, and your grace will be sufficient, and you never will leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. We pray today's sermon will be a light to guide you in the coming week. If this ministry helps meet your spiritual needs, we pray you will consider a contribution to help pay for radio time. This program provides an opportunity for worship for thousands of listeners each week, among them those who are unable to attend church. Some have chosen to give a gift of $75 to commemorate our 75th anniversary this fall. However, all donations are appreciated. You may direct your gift to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all our faithful followers for their financial and prayerful support. Christian Crusaders has produced 5 gospel-centered messages on DVD video by Reverend Homer Larson. The 20-minute programs are appropriate for individual and small group study, are useful for church pulpit supply, and make great gifts. Please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to order. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.